CliffCentral.com.
Progressive, cultured, and brave.
And now, the moment you've all been waiting for.
Threaded Exchange with Sia Bailey, live on Cliff Central.
Yes, yes, yes. I am back on Cliff Central for the Threaded Exchange. This is our fourth installment, which means I've been on radio for a month now. So it's the 1 month anniversary of the Threaded Exchange. As you know, this is a platform that is cultured, progressive, and it's brave. We bring guests on the show that are not only inspiring, but young black creators from all different walks of life who are doing incredible things. And we sit and we have a little conversation for an hour, and hopefully during that conversation, whatever they say, you can find inspiring. And it's about sharing their stories. It's also about bringing light to different industries. I think it's so important to highlight, you know, what young black creatives are doing in South Africa as well as Africa. And today the show is going to take another turn. Last week we were talking to Laduma. The week before we were talking to Jabu about the club culture. On our first episode we were talking to Asana Sizani, and today I've got two very special guests. I've got Austin Malem, I've got Cedric, who are probably the most influential photographers in South Africa right now because of the work that they do that crosses over not just between, you know, print, but also between digital and print. So their work is really, really something that you need to watch out for. Also, in a personal capacity, I've collaborated with them on The Threaded Man. Now, on today's show, we're a little bit going to find out about their journey, but most importantly, it's about talking about photography. You know, how has photography changed our social media experience? How have has their photography changed how, you know, bloggers deliver their work? Austin and Cedric have been pushing Credit the Photographer this past weekend. Austin was at the Metros, and everyone says the production was shit, but the best thing about the Metros was Austin's photography. Cedric was out at Ultra this weekend, where he collaborated with Until, who had, you know, which was a first in South Africa for them to have their own stage, and Cedric was there to capture the experience, which elevated it online. So we're going to get into a deep discussion about the state of photography in South Africa, whether or not they feel that they are threatening traditional photographers, because these guys don't necessarily have degrees or anything of that sort, but they've built very big and formidable brands. So yeah, let's chat to them. Cedric, Austin.
Yeah,
what's up?
Yeah.
Come closer to the mic. Let's hear you. Yeah, come closer to the mic. How are you guys doing?
We're good, Sia, man. How are you?
I'm good. I'm
easy.
Good.
How was the weekend?
The weekend was crazy. Yeah, I lost my keys at Ultra. I was very
what
drunk.
A life. What a life.
I was very
life.
Drunk. But
no, I was
all,
with you. Remember,
yeah.
I was with you. I know
please
you
just
were.
Don't put up any of my drunk pictures.
Those are the real moments people want to see, though, don't
yeah.
you think?
Yeah.
I feel
yeah.
like we'll open a new website for the things you never see.
Yeah.
That's, so, that should be a thing,
just
actually.
To give everybody we context, I've worked with Austin and Cedric on a number of projects. On the Threaded Man,
yeah.
and they have a lot. They have probably built an archive of pictures that I don't want to be public. So if anyone, if there's a hater out there who
just
hates
find
on me, and someone wants to ruin my career, please contact Austin and Cedric.
As long as you have a solid paycheck, find us. We got everybody's images.
They
we
will sell the pictures images. For a very good amount, and hopefully they'll cut me in on the profits.
Yeah,
we'll cut you in. Don't worry.
We'll definitely cut you in because if they're paying big bucks. You gotta share. We fabulous, you know.
Guys, how's it going? Like, you guys are now super megas of photography.
Oh man,
hey,
Austin, you wanna start? You wanna
Austin,
start?
Start. Let's start with
that's,
Austin.
Oh, let me
Austin.
Put it that way. That's my best friend, by the way, guys.
Austin,
that's,
when
that's my best friend.
That's my best friend. That's my
Austin,
best friend.
Yes, yeah.
Let's start with Austin. When yes. I met you, it was probably the year before last.
Yes,
and we started working together beginning of last year. We shot a Stutterfords campaign together.
Yeah,
and when I met you, you know, you were doing quite a lot of event stuff, you know, you hadn't really done a lot of studio,
yeah,
but over the last year you've grown incredibly well doing editorials, doing campaigns, shooting for a number of celebrities. Tell us about that journey. Like, actually, how did you become even like for 2 minutes before we get into our little debate, I think I want to first give the audience context of who you guys are.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
So, Austin, like, who are you, man? And how did you end up in the photography game?
Yeah,
it's hella crazy. So, I am Austin Malema, 26 years old. I shut up. I'm 26 and I was born in Limpopo, moved to Joburg in 2003, went to Ferndale High School. And from high school, I went to AFDA to study film. I wanted to become a film director, but for some reason, you know, I thought directors made money and I heard producers make money. So I started, I was like, I'm going to be a producer. And then I heard, you know, you can edit things. I was like, what? I'm going to be an editor. I like putting things together. Sweet. And then I became an editor. And while I was studying editing, I studied cinematography, which falls into photography, which is why I became a photographer eventually. So from there, I was an editor.
There's a part he missed.
What?
He became a photographer because he met me.
Don't take my credit.
That's how I'm telling you guys.
No, I became a photographer because I needed to make money, guys. I needed to make extra money. No, guys, I was raised by a single parent, so my old lady was not giving me enough money for lunch there at AFDA, and we were sharing chips. So yeah. I needed to make some extra money on the side. So, and also, to tell you the truth, another reason I became a photographer is because to get into the club and the lit events, if you had a camera, it was easy.
You wanted to be the VIP.
VIP was the, I don't know, but I just wanted to be with celebrities, rubbing shoulders with the right people.
You wanted to be within the culture, in the scene.
I wanted to be in the scene. And then that became an easy way to do it. But then eventually, last year I quit my job as an editor, which is my qualification. I became a photographer. Because, you know, I fell in love with photography and it became a real thing. And my job was holding me back. And I couldn't do what I wanted to do on a regular. And then I was like, you know what, screw it. I'm going to become a photographer. And I became a street photographer because of you, you idiot. Yeah, not a photographer.
That's the point. He became a street photographer because of me. So when you guys ask for Austin's inspiration behind street photography, there you get it. Live on Cliff Central. He became a street photographer
Can I say something, though? I think what people don't understand, there's actually a big differentiation between the two of you.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. When I look at Austin, I see Austin as the guy, like both of you can shoot events, but I see Austin the one who'd shoot the stage, shoot the red carpet, shoot the behind the scenes actual event. And I see Cedric, the guy who shoots the style, the arrival.
People don't understand
how both are actually important.
People think and it's how both can that's actually, the sad part.
Exactly, and how both can actually live within the same space.
Yeah. People think it's competition, and the funny part about it that you'll be shocked what we're about to announce today.
So
if you guys thought we're competing, we've never been in competition. That's my best friend. That's my business partner.
Yeah.
More than anything, he's grown into
Cedric,
family. Yeah.
You're from Kenya.
I'm from Kenya.
You're an African brother. You're an African creative.
What a guy. I should actually be beating you for taking our jobs.
Yeah. Each time I talk to people like from Kenya, for example, there's an actor called Nick Mutuma.
Shooting Sugar currently.
Yeah,
Each
time I talk to these great Kenyan artists or actors, they always talk about you and how you're doing incredibly well in South Africa with your photography and how you're representing Kenya on such, you know, a big scale.
Yeah.
So tell us about your journey towards South Africa and becoming the best street style photographer we have right now.
Okay, guys, my name is Cedric Nzaka. Kenyan born and raised, single mother. I don't want to get into the finer details.
So we all have single mothers. So that's why we all get along.
Yeah, we both have single parents. Yeah, I'm Cedric Nzaka, Kenyan born and raised. I'm actually turning 25 very soon. I'm the founder. I'm the founder of Everyday People Stories, as we all know. But currently, we're about to venture into other entities as Everyday People Stories. But for now, I'm the founder of Everyday People Stories, this individual entity. I'm a creative director. I'm a photographer. I'm a marketing consultant. I'm an all-rounded creative, as we call them right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've built so many accolades for myself. But weird enough, I never went to school, unlike my friend Austin. I've never stepped into a photography and film class. I learned everything on my own, and obviously through the years.
So Austin, you are a qualified editor.
Cedric,
you're not a qualified anything.
Let's actually put it straight. I'm
not a qualified anything either, guys. I dropped out of
the question. Qualified.
Let's put it this way.
I'm not qualified in anything either, but I run one of the most top fashion companies in Africa.
I'm actually straight up. I'm a dropout.
I'm a dropout too.
I never went to school. I never finished the course I was doing, which was
my
actually...
mama told me if I drop out, I gotta move out the house. So you all know this was, is pressure.
Yeah.
But can I find out now? Diving into the discussion.
Yeah.
I mean, if you look at all of three of us in this room, we're all doing careers that we are not necessarily qualified. Mm-hmm. Actually, I'm not qualified to do what I do, but I do what I do because
I didn't study photography anyway.
You didn't study photography, and Cedric, you didn't study anything.
Mm-hmm.
But we found ourselves doing better than people who have studied. I want to find out from you, you know, what made you move into photography and, you know, what was that hang? I mean, this is something you didn't know about. You didn't go to school about to do it. But what gave you that passion to be like, yo, I'm going to like fucking learn this thing. I'm going to fucking push this thing. I'm going to be good at this thing. I'm going to be better than anyone else at the thing.
Okay.
What did you see in the photography market that no one else was seeing?
Okay, first things first, we all know I'm from Kenya, like I mentioned earlier on. And Kenya being the country I know personally, Kenya is not as developed as South Africa, sadly to say. You guys, or more or less South Africans, have access to more. That's why, hitting on the foreign story, that's why we move this side, as much as we don't want to make it as cliche as it sounds, but yeah, we move this side for greener pastures. But it's a matter of how you approach it. It's a matter of how you take in the new environment you get access to, and how you obviously take it in and build something out of it. I moved to South Africa as an individual. My brothers were already this side, but when I moved this side, I came. I wanted to study. I wanted to better my life. I wanted to better my family. I wanted to build something out of myself. Raised by a single mother, three older brothers in a family of four kids, it obviously reaches a point where you just want to change everything.
Yeah.
I was born and raised in Kawangware. If you Google Kawangware, it's one of the biggest slums in Africa.
Wow.
By a single mother in a house of four guys. So you can obviously pick out that everything wasn't easy. Nothing was handed to us.
Yeah.
And when we had the opportunity to obviously leave, because people think maybe my mom was wealthy enough to pay for plane tickets. No. My mom did a mini fundraising. We had fundraising every time we all traveled, because obviously in a family you have friends, you have family, you have people you've met out there. We did a fundraising for me. We did a fundraising for a couple of my brothers. We traveled to South Africa. Coming this side, everything was new. It's a matter of starting up. You're basically dropping everything. You're leaving family. You're leaving your actual mother. You're leaving your high school friends. You're leaving your primary school friends. You're coming to start all over again. First things first, that won't be easy. It will be very difficult. People think it's been easy. People see only the good side that we present right now.
Yeah.
But it was never easy. So.
But can I, just going back to, you know, that Kawangware, what is it called?
Kawangware.
Kawangware. It's one of the biggest slums in Africa.
Yes.
You know, most there's a lot of, young black creatives or even creatives in Africa who are sitting in a lot of slums who have these big dreams, but don't necessarily progress.
Yeah.
You know, they just sit there like, life sucks. I don't know what to do. I need someone to put me on.
Yeah.
What made you feel like, you know what, fuck this. Mm-hmm. I want to do better. I want to be better. I'm going to get out of here. I'm going to speak to my mom. Mom, this is what I want to do. What made you take the initiative? Because a lot of young people just generally don't want to take initiative. They're waiting for someone to put them on.
Okay.
They're waiting for that golden opportunity to come. But you were like, I'm going
to
get out of here and I'm going to make things happen.
Okay.
What made you do that?
Growing up, I would say straight up, I've always been very intelligent in school. So I guess that always had an advantage for me. I've been straightforward in school. I used to pass. It's not a lie. I used to venture very well in school. But at the end of the day, I loved playing soccer. Soccer more or less opens doors when it comes to traveling a little bit. Soccer gives you an insight into how the other life can be, when obviously you see people you used to play soccer with in the same dusty fields now playing for teams like Man City.
Yeah.
You're seeing them playing for teams like Qatar. It obviously gives you a wide perspective into what you want to do. And when you share conversation with some of these people, people are very scared to ask, but I went ahead and asked, like, how does it feel to fly to Uganda, which is just our neighboring country, but we've never left the country? How does it feel? They're like, yo, there's a different world out there that we all miss out on. But I guess at the same time, it's how we were raised. It's how I was personally raised. I can't speak for anybody else but myself.
Yeah.
It's more or less how I was raised and how my mother worked so hard to give us everything. Even with the little she had, all my brothers are in South Africa.
Yeah.
That can tell you so much. Coming from somebody who grew up in the slums where we never had so much, but right now we have access to all these things. We grew up without, when your neighbors have a car, you guys didn't have a car. When your neighbors had a microwave, you guys used to warm stuff from the gas cooker. You understand? Yeah. That's what I was used to. That's what I was open to. But now, seeing my mother obviously put everything aside and be like, I believe in you guys enough to send you somewhere, hoping everything changes for you.
Yeah.
That's what drove me. That's what drove me. The driveway, you can see your single mother fighting, working multiple jobs just to give you everything.
Yeah.
People who know me will tell you I'm not big on Christmas because of how I was raised and where I'm coming from. But
yeah,
right now I'm building that kind of momentum. I want to build that with the friends around
me. I think that's something I struggle with too. I mean, also coming from a family that, you know, doesn't necessarily have money. You know, birthdays used to not be a big deal because we knew as kids that my mom couldn't afford to give us that. Not that we undermined her, but we knew the current state. Yeah. And we'd even say to mom, please don't worry about my birthday.
Don't worry, don't buy me clothes.
And now when you have money, it's a tough thing because it makes you a bit emotional now. Because you're like, okay, I've got Christmas, I've got money, but how do I go by doing this thing? And also because there's not a culture, you have to almost learn about the culture.
You have to obviously plug yourself in and learn new things and obviously open your mind to opportunities and whatever is presenting itself at that time. Yeah.
Yeah. Going back to Austin, I mean, you've been in Joburg for more than 10 years.
Yeah.
And you've seen a lot of things happen. I mean, in Johannesburg, you know, there's a period of time when something is cool, then it's not cool.
Yeah.
And I mean, you've always been, you know, you trained editing, but you saw the photography thing and then the influencer thing came about. Bloggers started popping up. How did you see that snap, this is my opportunity to climb in and give these bloggers an aesthetic and a look?
Do you know what's crazy? I think it's always been an opportunity to work with the people who have more of a reach. Okay, yeah. I think the craziest part was you can see all these people. Most bloggers or photographers, DJs, we all cool people. And that's an honest truth. Sorry. But the biggest thing for me was to plug myself to grow my reach more on my social media. And that was not even, it was nothing intentional to say there's a real goal to it. It was just to say, okay, cool, I've got 5,000 followers. Damn, 5,000 people like my work.
Yeah.
That was the biggest thing, one of the biggest things. And then, you know, I realized, you know, when it comes to bloggers, there's a bigger reach and there's more of purpose, because when you start doing that, you start working with brands, you start exchanging ideas and collaborating better with other people. And when I worked with you, for instance, you know, I reached a new market that did not know me, you know, and people who knew me got to know what you do. And I think that was one of the biggest things. We get to collaborate and exchange people who know what we do, which is a bigger reach, which is a bigger thing than any paycheck. Because what happens is I feed off my people to you. My audience gets to feed what you see and they fall in love with what you do, and your audience gets to see what I do and they're like, oh my God, I didn't know there was such and such a person who does this. And that's the biggest thing. And then besides that, there's the power of collaboration that leads to brands working with us and stuff like that. So I've reached some brands through the people that I've worked with, and it's really great. It's an exchange and growth of entities in individuals and in a collaboration space.
Yeah. That's so crazy. I mean, I think, you know, one of the things that I always say when I do public speaking, you guys can correct me if I'm wrong. You know, a lot of people focus a lot on, especially right now, the whole influencing thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, I always talk about, like, as a blogger or as a former influencer, I like to call myself. I'm not a blogger anymore.
Because you got the shirt.
I'm a super mega now. I always mention that what goes into blogging, what goes into content curation, photography is so important, because photography has become the thing that drives social media. You know, how you view things are so important.
It helps presentation.
I remember when I first jumped on Instagram, I used to take pictures with my phone, you know, and I don't know how it happened, but people clicked, oh my God, I could actually take a professional picture and upload it and make it look different.
Yeah.
Now people are editing, doing different types of effects and all those kind of things. Mm-hmm. And people don't pay attention that photography is actually very important.
People don't understand that you really have to invest in your crap. Most people assume all these platforms platforms have been built individually. There's a team behind everything. Every person out there who's more or less successful, there's somebody who helps with presentation. There's somebody who helps with
But
PR,
let's dive into that. Let's actually talk about blogging a little bit. I think your perspective is really quite interesting. I think one of the things, you know, everyone now is jumping on the blogging wagon. I'm actually fucking tired.
To be honest with you, I think
everyone in Joburg is a fucking blogger.
To be honest with you, I think a lot of people are doing it for the wrong reason, because now when CS popping, there's brands who want to work with you, and a lot more people think, oh no, I can actually style myself to look cool.
Make it
and
very then, straight. People want free things.
That's the thing. People want free things. Things that comes with what you've built, and it's not that simple.
It's really not.
Guys, it's taken. I've been doing photography for 7 years. Only after 5 years, I get to really work with brands who recognize you for the stuff that you're doing while you collaborate with other people.
Yeah.
You're not going to blow up
Tell
overnight.
Us, Austin. Actually, preach, my boy.
Preach. Like, tell us. I'm going to allow tell you, us, tell us, tell
I'm gonna allow you to
honestly.
Rant.
Speak
rant.
Honestly. You've been very, holding on to this for a while. I join you.
It's very hurtful when people come into a space where you've been working. You can afford to buy the gear, but you don't have the eye. Or you just think it's that simple that, hey, I can afford to buy a 10,000 rand camera, or a 15,000 rand camera, even 20,000.
Let me interject a little bit.
What makes the pictures?
Most people don't know about my story. Before I bought my camera, I went on Gumtree, I contacted a random stranger, and I wrote a very long message. Because obviously I didn't have the funds. I didn't come from a family that could provide me with a camera. I wrote a very long message to a very random stranger. And this very random stranger saw opportunity. He saw a hardworking young boy who really wanted to do this.
Yeah.
This brings me back to what I really want to say. The saddest part about it is that when people have access to finances and perceive that, oh, just because photography as an entity is popping right now, I jump on it. You know why? My mama can buy me a 5D Mark IV, which costs 53,000, whereas I'm running around trying to work so hard to buy it myself. You understand? And most people don't. As much as I want to say it, cliche as it sounds, passion drives a lot of things. I got to where I am. Austin got to where he is because he's passionate about what you do. When you see our work, you more or less see us through our work. You see a lot of things that we're trying to say through our work. And what most people don't understand is that just because you have finances, that doesn't mean you can't be good at everything. We worked so hard to build these entities. People know I'm one of the first photographers who started shooting street style and documenting street style in Bramfontein as a whole. Right now, if you go to Bramfontein, I don't mind inspiring the people who...
Look, go to Bramfontein on a Saturday. There's probably 50 photographers you're going to see.
Yeah.
That's the biggest problem. Like, what are you there for? What are you building?
15 to 20 photographers. And some of them, they're not doing it for the right reasons. I've seen other photographers who approach ladies the way I used to when I was building up. And they're looking for other things out of it. They take a photo of a lady, and whatever they're trying to get at is not just building content. It's not just obviously sharing the diverse faces and fashion that we have right now. They're looking for something more. And people think using a camera to get, I'm sorry to say, to get ladies and to get is not the best way. It ruins us.
It ruins the look on everyone else.
When people say, another photographer sent me a message, and as I replied, immediately they went straight into something else. We don't do that. That's why I find it very scary sending messages sometimes.
Let's be honest. We're not photographers.
Can I play devil's advocate for a
little bit? Go ahead.
On my end, you know, I always say this in a lot of interviews and in a lot of interactions where people ask me about blogging, where there's like, I want to be a blogger, whatever. I genuinely think that we can do with more bloggers. I mean, America has a lot of blogging.
There's
literally
open room for everybody.
Exactly. But what I always say is, what is your point of reference? Mm-hmm. What is your perspective? What is your voice? There's no point in being a blogger if you're going to go into it to copy someone else.
That's
You need to bring...
And let's be very honest. A lot of people are copying each other right now.
Exactly. So my thing is, and you need to bring in a new voice. You need to bring in a new perspective. Now, in photography, you've got a lot of people who want to be photographers now. And I don't think that's...
We don't mind. We need more of you.
So young photographers who are inspired by your work, who are not necessarily trying to replicate your work, you know, how... Why don't you guys play a bigger role in sort of mentoring them and be more, you know, accessible to teaching them about these things?
Cool.
I'm just asking. I mean,
no problem.
On my end, I just started Converse with Beyile, which is once a month I sit with young people who want to go into fashion or blogging, and I genuinely just talk to them, you know, to say, listen, if you want to do this thing, it's not as cool as okay. it looks. Because if you think about it, dude, is that all of us here, we are thought leaders now, you know, and in the industry that we are in, we are innovators, mm-hmm. you know, and we can't sleep on the fact that for the very first time, an African child is seeing what is possible creatively.
Okay, I get
you. You know, an African child in the slums never knew it would be possible for a Kenyan like Cedric to come and do this work. This
far, yeah.
A guy who has a single mother, Austin, can come and do this work. So people uh-huh. are inspired, and yeah. sometimes in being inspired, mm-hmm. they go into the thing of copying, you know.
Yeah.
The kids just want to make it, yeah. man. They want to be heard. They want to also be
okay.
seen.
Truth of the matter,
so, you know, how
mind.
Can you...
How can I?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. I remember, I'll take you back to, I was shooting an ABSIP conference with a lot of very inspiring and powerful ladies, right? And in that very same moment, somebody asked the Klaus on mentorship. Somebody asked the same Klaus on mentorship. And this is what one of the ladies said: I get scared to mentor. Not me, I yeah. quote. She said, I get scared to mentor. And not because I don't think I have the relevant information to share. It's because the person approaching me for mentorship did not come and detail out what exactly they want to be mentored
yeah.
in. You understand?
Yeah.
It's very hard for me to mentor you when you're like, Cedric, I love your photography. You inspire me. Please be my mentor. But what am I mentoring you in?
Yeah.
I do so much. I do marketing. I do social media yeah. marketing. I'm a consultant. I do talent scout. I do, obviously, I speak. I shoot. I edit. You need to have a direction into yeah. what you're looking for
and
mentorship.
And that's a serious thing, guys. I think.
You know, another factor that comes into this thing is, you know, you can say you're going to mentor someone, but I can't teach you what I know in my head, because when I shoot, there's no setting. You know, mm-hmm. there's no actual setting that says 1, 2, 3. When I shoot, I'm, you know, people, like someone was asking me yesterday, like, about the pictures that I shot at the MMAs, and they were asking me about the settings. I'm like, you know, I can't really teach you about settings about something that's on stage. It happens then and there.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
then when you try mentor someone, the biggest thing they can do is be an assistant. And sometimes to some people that never works, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So if I had to mentor you, I need to put you in a space where...
I need to put you in a space where you learn on your own. I need to put pressure on you.
I can never be like, nah, this is what I do. Nah, I can tell you my style mm-hmm. and my thought process when it comes to a shoot.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't mean you're going to see it the same way.
It's like, guys, people don't understand. I shoot better than Austin when it comes to low lighting areas.
Yes.
Yeah. Austin shoots better than me when it comes
to
studio. So how did I learn to shoot in studio? I went with Austin multiple times instead. I still
that's
do
that,
right now.
That's what happened.
And I'm still learning.
Yeah. I think just drawing back, what I like to do on all the Thread Exchange shows, during the discussion, I always like to highlight key lessons that
yes.
I think people should take. Guys, if you're going to approach someone to mentor you or help you, there's no point in Insta DMing them as in, can you please mentor me?
Yeah.
Yeah,
send an
true.
Email. Send mm-hmm. a detailed email. Mm-hmm. Hi, I'm Siyabonga Peile.
This
I'm 19 years
do.
Old. Uh-huh. I'm studying at Vega.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking for an internship. I'm even willing to intern for you for free in
that's
order
better.
To learn.
You know?
And
better.
I think that's something that's quite serious, because on a daily I receive all these emails of people needing help, whatever. But then it's like, you're wasting my time.
Yeah,
you know,
you
someone told me the other day, someone's like, yo, Sia, bro, let's talk. Here's my
wow.
number. I'm like, I'm not your friend. Like, you should approach me in a way that,
like,
you know, that's respectful.
Like,
I see, I'm so-and-so. This
mm-hmm.
is what I'm looking to do. This is what I want to do. And then we shall advise accordingly then.
Mm-hmm.
I just think that also, don't approach me in the club and say, I want mentorship.
Yeah.
Like,
mm-hmm.
that's another thing. Timing
thing.
Is so yeah. important.
Timing is important in how you communicate it. And
mm-hmm.
it's the same way I'd like to communicate about some of my work. Like, people will DM you about having to employ you. I've got my emails on both my social
that's
media
the
spaces.
Sad part, yeah.
Why are you DMing me?
Why are you sending a direct message?
Are you telling me when you saw my profile and you clicked on Austin,
you didn't
before
see
you go
my
to
email
DM,
address?
You did not see my email mm-hmm. address. It's right there at the bottom.
It's like me. I'm very open to work with new models.
DM me.
But don't send me a direct message.
It's
you understand?
Yeah.
Or if you do send me a direct message, detail out exactly what you want.
Or like, ask for the email
I'm
address.
Sure, I don't like putting my DMs out, but there's a time I put a DM about a lady who sent me a message as simple as like this: I want to be your modeler.
Like, what was that?
Straight up.
Yeah.
No, hi, no, hello, Cedric. My name is who and who. I believe that I have the face, the look, and I'm looking to venture into modeling. How can you assist me? They sent me a straight message that said, I want to be your modeler.
Yeah.
How can I help you?
Yeah.
When you come to me like that, you understand? Yeah. So approach, guys, is please, approach is very key. Approach is very key.
Important. Now, jumping on to the next. Sorry, I know you guys want to talk a lot. I let you talk a lot, but
no problem.
My job
let's
here
go.
Is to. There's a lot of things I want to get out of you. So
let's go. Let's go.
You have
let's
to
go,
remind
go.
Me. There's a lot of
let's
lessons
go,
that I want
go,
people
let's
to
go,
learn.
Let's go. Okay.
Now, in terms of the blogging space,
yep.
you guys collaborate with a number of bloggers.
Quite a handful.
And there's sort of there's probably certain bloggers who have hit you up, but you will never collaborate.
Yes.
How do you choose whether or not you should collaborate with the Siyabeyile?
Okay.
And you shouldn't collaborate with...
Same thing. Okay, guys, let me put it straight. Same thing as people looking for mentorship.
Work with.
Same thing as people looking for mentorship. Bloggers also need to realize that they're not celebrities. You're not famous. I'm a photographer. I'm a photographer. I'm not a celebrity.
Thank
exactly.
you.
Most people who know me know I don't even show my face anywhere. I don't like the limelight. I like being behind the scenes. But first things first, realize just because you have 100,000 followers, you're not a celebrity in my world.
Don't yeah.
You
that.
Approached me to work, right?
Yeah.
Approach me with the same amount of professionalism that I would if I wanted to work with you. You understand?
Yeah.
The disrespect that comes in when bloggers, influencers assume or perceive just because I have 100,000 followers, then definitely Cedric and Austin want to work with me. We don't. We don't.
Hey, let's be honest.
We
but
don't.
Can I even ask you this? I think I'll even take it further. I mean, on both accounts where I've worked with you,
yeah.
you guys were very surprised that I had a budget to actually pay you.
That's amazing. Like,
that's amazing.
That's amazing.
So
nice
can I ask times. Something? That's mm-hmm. another thing that people that's another thing that people understand. Mm-hmm. I'm able to work with the best mm-hmm. photographers like Ricardo yourself.
You've made time
because I actually
yeah.
pay.
Mm-hmm.
And you find that a lot of bloggers, your favorites, actually,
as call as your favorites.
They'll approach me and they'll say to me, "Yo, can you give me Cedric's number, give mm-hmm. me like, yeah, yeah,
it's
yeah,
very
sure.
easy. We can give you our numbers. It's not a problem. But
exactly.
guys, let me tell you, the reason why we built an empire together with Sia and Austin, and we obviously have this friendship that when Sia calls me, even if he doesn't have a budget, I'll show up, is because when he had a budget, he put
there.
It out there.
Yeah.
You understand? If Sia had 3,000 to pay me, Sia was honest enough to say, "I have 3,000
yeah.
to pay me."
But yeah,
when
I want to even get
yeah,
the
when
more
other people
thing.
When other
guys,
people
let's get to the main point of this mm-hmm. thing. A lot of people hide under collaboration mm-hmm. as a way not to pay you.
Exactly.
And,
yeah.
Most
That's
of these people have
say.
A budget. They all have a budget. You cannot collaborate with a big brand
and tell
me
you don't have a budget. Guys,
because
you're shooting something for Woolworths SA, right? You want Cedric to shoot it. I don't mind shooting it. I really don't mind shooting it.
Yeah.
But you can't tell me when they approached you, they didn't hand you a budget for content curation. Do you understand my point? They're looking to get quality content, but they didn't give you a budget to supply the person to actually curate the content, which is exactly what they need to sell their
yeah.
image and the product. It doesn't make sense.
And let's drive this to even a little point.
Let's
this is where
going.
I'm driving
let's
this
keep
to,
going.
Is that so a lot of bloggers, you know, assume just because I have 100,000 followers on Instagram that by having Cedric shoot me, I'm giving him a platform.
I don't want your platform.
And they don't want to. And they don't want to pay. Now taking it further. I mean, Austin, last year I invited you to come with me to the Summers
mm-hmm.
and capture
yeah.
images.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm actually super proud mm-hmm. that a year later you've done it even 100,000 bit. 100,000 better.
I'm gonna take shots right now because we were trying to get the certain radio station to let us do that stuff for them,
yeah,
and they said everything is being done in-house and I'm
yeah.
glad I went there to do, like, tell you the truth, I was at the Metros because I was shooting there for another brand that we work with.
Yeah.
And then when I was done there, Tando Tabete was like, "Yo, listen, are you going to be in Durban this weekend?"
Yep.
I'm like, "Yeah, I'm already in Durban, but I don't have access.
Accreditation."
And she
access,
was like,
yeah.
"Listen, I'm gonna get you accreditation." Uh-huh. I went there, shot with Tando, and the best thing about it, I'll tell you, I don't have to have her pay me.
Yeah, that's the thing.
I proved my point to someone else, and my work has reached a
And the sad
reach.
Part about yeah. it is we proved our point. He proved his point because they didn't want to give you the budget. They didn't want. They wanted to work in house
yeah.
so that they
but
can keep it in house.
But can I ask this?
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
yeah.
I want to go back to this controversy a little bit. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, last year you came and shot for the Threaded Man because
uh-huh.
we had collaborated,
yeah.
and,
yes.
and I paid you. So
yes.
just to put it out there, and you know, but
paid.
As part of and then what you did this past week is what I wanted you to do because
yes.
you're so good at that.
That's amazing.
And I mean, last year a lot of celebrities posted the pictures and didn't credit.
Credits.
Mm-hmm.
And,
yeah.
And when I asked some of them about it, they were like, "No, I'm not gonna put this guy on." Mm-hmm.
Look, I don't
this
give,
guy should
listen,
be honored. I'm putting this picture.
If,
do you feel let me ask you this. When a celebrity always feels like by tagging a Cedric on a picture, they feel like they're doing him a favor.
They're not doing me a favor.
You know, let's talk about this.
Let me assist you first of all.
Okay, pass your phone there.
I started, every day people's stories was built for the street by the streets.
Yeah.
I'll put it very straight. Everyday People's Stories was built by Everyday People's Stories. Same as the tagline, same as the title. If you've checked my page, there's no celebrities. There's no celebrities. There's no celebrity who will come back around and say, I helped build your platforms. No, yeah. But I've shot them. I've met them. I know them. I have a lot of them on my contact. But I when I started out Everyday People's Stories, I was doing it for the people like me who need the kind of access and inspiration, right? I wasn't doing it to come around and work with celebrities. I don't mind working with them. Sometimes they're good for business, sometimes they're bad for business. Let's keep it straight.
Word.
But don't ever assume you're doing me a favor, yet you need my services more than I need yours.
Yes.
You understand? Everyday People's Stories, I can shoot Everyday People's Stories any day. You understand?
Without you.
You understand? So when you think tagging me in a post is going to change my life, that's not life changing. Pay me. That will change my life.
Yeah.
That will better my life. You
I
understand?
Think the crazy thing
and
is...
And can I ask, and also I feel on the show we are educating people.
Uh-huh.
As a photographer, you know, what is the importance of you being credited? You know,
it's very important.
Just actually let people
thing,
into the idea.
Thing
so
of, this whole credit thing is not my ego, is not me trying to get attention from celebrities. I remember with my Pearl Tusi thing, people were like, oh no, I'm trying to get Pearl Tusi's followers. No, I don't need respect to her, but I don't need her followers. I don't need anything from her. What I need is a credit because in her follower list, there's someone who's amazed with my work, but now they will never know who took that picture. They do not know who's behind that work. Mm-hmm. They will always see Pearl Tusi, but who's behind that beautiful picture that someone took of Kanye Mao flicking her hair?
Yeah.
People want to know that because I have potential clients in your list, and your followers, and they're just watching. Then they're like, oh, okay, cool. We don't know how to get hold of this person. There's no tag. There's nothing.
So how do we know who took this amazing image?
I'll even take it to this point. So same way as an AKA, if I'm using his music on a video, I need to credit him because someone might buy that song.
Yes, because they're going to be like, oh, great song you use on that video. Who's it by?
Okay, and then, credit works both ways.
Man.
Credit works on a business kind of perspective where it gives a lot of people insight into who you are and your work, right?
Yeah.
Without you even having to be there and speak and present yourself, a little bit of credit gives a direct link into you and your business. It allows people to now come around and be like, okay, I love the grading. I love the approach in taking this photo. I love the composition.
Yeah.
But now how can I work with this guy? It's easy direct contact to you. So you can imagine how much you take away from individuals the moment you just go out and don't tag something as simple as less than 15 characters saying image at Austin Malema. Or putting right now iPhones, Samsung's, smartphones.
There's a picture camera
and just write my name. It's easy as that. You understand? That one goes a long way for me as an individual entity. It goes a long way for him as a company. It goes a long way for you as a stylist.
Exactly.
When people can come back around, even when somebody quotes you, you've seen in magazines, you've seen in on Twitter, when you quote somebody who said something very inspiring, writing their quote by Idris Elba helps him so much. People find out this inspirational quote that goes around was from.
So just to give people context, celebrities, influencers, even consumers that want to work with photographers, the reason why it's important to credit a photographer is because it affects how they eat.
Yes, it does. By crediting them, it
opens up to them to a new clientele.
It opens up a lot of doors.
And it opens up a lot of doors.
Yeah,
so by you preventing crediting them, you're actually, you
it
know.
It brings traffic both ways. Because
yeah,
the same way if I post
their
your photo.
In a negative way.
If I post your photo, when I also tag you, people now familiarize with who you are.
Exactly.
And that's it. It's simple as that.
Cool. Yeah. Guys, we are live on the Thread Exchange on Cliff Central. Please do engage with us. I'm seeing all the tweets coming in. I saw Kulekani MJ saying, listening to the Thread Exchange with Sarah Beal on Cliff Central, inspiring advice on mentorships. So guys, please do keep engaging with us on Cliff Central, cliffcentral.com there. And also we've got WhatsApp. It's 079-748-2090. If you want to ask these guys any questions,
please do not be
afraid to message us. We're talking all things photography. We're talking about credit the photographer. We're talking about influencing. We talk about the importance of photography in social media. I'll be back with Austin and Cedric straight after this.
Oh.
Progressive, cultured, and brave.
And now, the moment you've all been waiting for.
The Threaded Exchange with CMB. Live on Cliff Central.
And there it is. The discussion is continuing with Austin and Cedric. They're not holding anything back when it comes to photography and credit the photographer and influencing. Guys, let's even dig deeper.
Let's
now
go.
You are, you know, you are very, you are celebrated photographers.
Yes, we
and
are.
I could say in a sense that what I love about social media and what social media has done is that whether you are a painter, whether you're an interior designer, whether you're a stylist, social media has allowed all of us to actually become influencers in our respective industries. And you guys have also become influencers themselves.
Sure.
Now, what I want to ask from you guys is, between, this is actually even a personal question that I'm asking for you. Between,
go ahead.
How do you keep the art of your photography alive while you also still become a face
this,
of some
this
of the
is, this is crazy
a face of some of the campaigns that you do. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but do you know what the crazy thing is with this thing? And this is where we stem and what we stand by. And I believe if anyone wants to collaborate with me, brand wise, having me to work with you as an influencer, you need to understand one thing. Don't tell me what to do. Because you came to me because you know what I'm able to do. You did not come to me. All the pictures I've taken were not directed. Most of the stuff is stuff that I've done myself.
Should
you know?
I put it in my
so
words?
We want 100% creative control.
Give me creative control or get yourself
your
another photographer.
Like, that's it's that simple.
It's simple as that.
You can't be telling me what to do when you came to me knowing my style and then you want me to shoot something else. You know? Then what's the point of me collaborating with you? Because that's you telling me what to do. You're making me... Mm-hmm. Your prop.
Yeah, I'm not a point-and-shoot photographer.
I'm not a collaborator anymore. I am being told what to do, which is very painful because when people come to you, they're like, oh, no, we really love your work. You love my work, but you're going to tell me what to do. It will never make sense.
And also, can I touch on that? Can I tell you something that really pisses me off half the time and really, really gets to me is a lot of brands in South Africa don't want to pay for our talent, but they still use us in their mood boards and will find someone to do our shit cheaper to copy us, but instead of actually paying us our money.
Uh-huh.
What do you guys think of that? Like, it's something that pisses me off on a daily basis. I'm not gonna mention any brand, but a brand will. I'll hear from someone. Hey, I was sitting in a strategy meeting. And I saw all your pictures.
It's happened to all of us.
Yes, it has
happened to the best of us.
And the next thing, we sing billboards or we sing a campaign
with the same exact reference images took straight from me, and they literally more or less copy pasted.
So why don't brands wanna fucking pay us for our work? And why do they always?
I don't think it's the brand, and that's the biggest fight I've got. It's the marketing people. Mm-hmm. It's the people at the top. The people who decide. The marketing companies are the ones who are selfish. I remember, you know, I'm not going to call out any brands, but I should, but on a particular campaign that I was working on, right, a company came and offered me 15,000 rand to be part of the campaign.
I said call them out.
Right? I'm not going
to
call out the company.
No, I won't.
It's just about the money. But the problem is that you offered me 15,000, right? After a couple of weeks of all of us complaining, another company comes on board, doubles the amount
after taking over.
Mm-hmm. What does that say about the previous company?
Mm-hmm.
The previous
company
were holding back.
But they want quality.
They got the money, but they want the quality.
Mm-hmm.
They want the quality. 100%, but you're going to pay me half. Mm-hmm. Why are you doing that?
Mm-hmm.
The company gave you probably 100,000 rand per influencer. But what you're going to do is, oh no, we're going to give them 15,000. We're going to keep the 85,000 for ourselves.
To ourselves. But we still want him to deliver quality.
Why are you doing that?
It
really sucks.
I won't mention, but I know something that happened to a friend of mine. He's sitting right next to me. So there's a company that approached me for a campaign. Very huge company. I've already been working with another company when it comes to clothing.
You guys work with a lot.
Yeah, there's a company that approached me. There's a company that approached me for a campaign, and I remember the person who approached me in a very weird place to approach me for a campaign and discussion. Obviously, moving along, I'm already working with another clothing brand. They obviously taking care of me. They're looking for growth and building a relationship, which I love, which is what I look at when I'm working with companies and individuals too. So the company approaches me. I look at the whole entire contract. I look at what they need from me. I decline.
Right? They went ahead and approached my friend seated right next to me. But they disrespected him as a company. They disrespected him as an individual. And I remember at the end of the campaign, he even told me he wished he never did it.
And it's part of
the reason why I've learned to decline stuff. Sorry to say, as much as the money looks amazing, I'll never compromise who I am just because of the body of work and say I worked with such certain company.
Yeah.
I'll never do that.
I don't mention that company.
You see what I mean?
It's not one of my best
Never compromise your craft. Never compromise your art. Protect your craft. Protect your art.
Yeah.
By any means
necessary.
So
what I'll say is, to any brand managers, PR agencies online, please, guys, if you're going to approach an influencer, number one, you're approaching them because you love their work.
Yeah.
So in loving their work, also pay them for their work.
Yeah.
Number two, the reason why that person is influential, they are influential because they are themselves.
Yep.
Never hire an influencer to come on your campaign and you want to change or dictate how they do their content.
Yep.
So if you're not going to want them to be themselves on that campaign, that means they're not the right fit for your
brand.
Exactly. If someone's the right fit for your brand, it means that they can still be themselves within your brand.
It has to be authenticity, all about. There has to be synergy between
the brand and the individual that you want to rep your brand.
Can I ask you guys something? I mean, you spend a lot of time documenting a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you spend a lot of time. I'll even put it, you put people on.
Yep.
You make people look good. That's the truth.
We do.
You're making all these bloggers look good. You're making all these celebrities look good.
Mm-hmm.
But then at the same time, don't you ever feel like you're losing your life because you spend so much time capturing and following all these people's lives? But then don't you ever feel empty about your own life, where it's like, what about living my own? Because in a sense, if you're living through the lens, you're also living other people's lives, because you're a photographer.
Yeah, I know.
How do you guys it must be a concern. And
as
how
sad
do you,
as it is,
isn't it sad? Doesn't it depress you a little bit? How do you handle that?
I said the same thing last week on my Starbucks interview, and all I said is that, as much I've said it right now, don't ever compromise your craft. Protect yourself and your craft by any means. But at the end of the day, don't ever lose yourself trying to build others.
Yeah, I think, you know, I'll tell you, it's sad I have to refer to this, right? But firstly, I don't like events anymore because I've done so many events, for one, right? And I don't feel like I really lose myself. Besides, the one point of you losing yourself would be to think you are one of those people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the biggest mistake that people have or make, is you get caught up with the lifestyle that you feel like you fit in. And with most of my clients, even if celebrities or what, I am not your friend. We can consult and everything. Mm-hmm. We are not friends. I'll never call any of my celebrity clients.
Yo, guys, can I expose?
I can't.
Do you know the worst thing, guys, that I hate right now? Oh, my God. I hope brand managers are listening, like, especially the ones that work with fashion brands. If you're a brand manager, you are not a fucking influencer.
You're not an influencer.
That's the problem. You get a lot of brand managers who think they're influencers. I was on a set. I was shooting a campaign with Abo Riki last year.
I remember what campaign that is.
Yeah, of course you do. Yeah. Now, the brand manager out there now also getting dressed. Want to be in front of the camera and I think that's why they hold back on the budgets because they are so focused on not necessarily doing their jobs to their best capabilities, but they focused on being the celebrities as well.
You're a photographer, you're not a rapper.
You're not a rapper, you're not a celebrity. People get lost because you're hanging out with certain people. You are not that person or you are not them. What you should be doing is focusing on your work. You are employed to make those people look good. Make them look good and step back. Never try to be in front of the camera. Imagine in a club and I'm following a celebrity and now I want to be shot with those celebrities and their friends.
Exactly.
I am not that person.
And my thing is, like, as a brand, guys, I think that the whole blogging thing can work so well and the whole influencer can work so well is that as a brand manager, you are influential.
You are influential.
Yeah. And by being influential means that you are influencing an Austin on your campaign.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
You're like the direct link between the brand and the company, which means you're influential enough to bring us on board. That's why we literally reply to you.
And as a custodian, or as a brand manager, is that you don't need to be in front of the camera to be influential.
What you will find is that
the people that are actually in front of the camera, even some of your favorites on Instagram, are actually not very influential at all.
First things first, some people are very influential by association. Let's put it very straight. Just because you're known to be somebody's best friend doesn't mean you can also be an influencer.
True.
You perceive you're a celebrity.
And 100,000 followers don't make you an influencer either.
It's not a bad thing. We don't mind you guys growing up together and going to school together and your parents knowing each other. But just because your friend made it as an influencer, you don't have to be an influencer too. You can be the brand manager behind her. Yeah. Do you understand?
You can be a trend forecaster.
You don't also have to build an Instagram account, have photo shoots, grade the same guys. You're just friends, man. Let's keep it straight.
And I think that's what pisses me off a lot about, like, sorry guys, I keep saying this, but actually, is that, yeah, like PR companies, PR agencies do it a lot, and brand managers, where 90% of them, when you work with them on a campaign, nabongo, they want to be in front of the camera.
Yeah.
Now they want to
It happens.
It's the
same
one. Influencing. It's the same one. Who's influencing here?
It's the same one. It's the same one. Photographers chill with rappers and they assume, now I want to take a photo of you as a photographer. Yo, bro, you're a photographer like me. You ain't no rapper, bro.
Stay in your lane.
Stay in your lane.
You know, here's a crazy thing on your phone, Cedric. A lot of people think we are talking about a certain photographer and it's crazy.
Nah, like, man, that's my nigga. But
no,
I know the person you're talking about. That's my friend.
They're not talking about Tiso.
That's my friend, man.
We're taking shade.
I'm shooting Blacksmith. Blacksmith is my homie, bro.
Can I also touch on that?
Mm-hmm.
I think there's another thing also that bothers me about the industry. Is that especially in fashion, we don't call bullshit bullshit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
we like to hype bullshit
online.
Can I tell you what the problem is?
The problem is, when you call bullshit bullshit, you're a hater.
Mm-hmm.
That's the problem.
Straight up.
You can't call bullshit bullshit because you're a hater.
You hating already?
I've come to a point where if anybody asks me, don't bother asking me what I think of someone's style or someone's photography, because I'm going to tell you it's not for me and I am not a hater. I don't want to comment on anything, because once you start breaking it down, they like, oh my God, you're such a hater. No, I'm not a hater.
I'm just being honest.
But can I ask a question, gents? Is that, for example, I mean, in my career now as a fashion, I'm becoming a fashion critic, and it's something I debate with my team, and where they'll be like, say, what do you think of the metros? The moment I say Banban was just like shit,
they're going to be like, you're hating.
The moment I say the metros are shit production, the moment I say.
You're hating.
I'm not going to say Blacksmith's a shit photographer, but the moment I say Cedric is a shit photographer, I don't enjoy his photography.
Yep, you hate.
Why am I seen as people aren't allowed. Why can't people take constructive.
Yeah, you're allowed to have not even constructive criticism. You're allowed to have an opinion. Any day. If I say I don't like Yeezys, it's my opinion.
Yes.
You can't come around and force me to like something I don't.
Thank you.
It's literally a matter of opinion. However way you take it, it's entirely up to you. If I say I don't like the way somebody grades something when it comes to photography, I'm speaking from my point of view, it doesn't mean I hate their body of work. It might be amazing, but if he approached it differently, maybe I'd appreciate it differently. You understand? I'm not a hater for speaking out how I feel about something. You understand?
Yeah.
It will never be that kind of case.
Another thing that I want to touch on, besides the hate, actually, because we only have a little bit of time, is also the thing of, like, you know, we get criticized as influencers for working with a lot of brands.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. Wait. We get criticized for working with a lot of brands, number one, and a lot of brands want exclusivity, but they're not willing to pay for exclusivity. Now, I want to talk about the thing, the fact that is, guys, brands need to realize that we are working businesses.
Mm-hmm.
We need to keep money coming into the business. And a brand, like, you know, a very, like, sports brand, I mean, I'll even say it, like, you know, sports brands like Adidas want exclusivity, but they won't pay for it. So, And how do they think we're going
to
make an income?
Austin, can you give us an insight into that? I'm so happy about this. You know what? I know Adidas don't see me no more, but I still rock Adidas.
Yeah.
It was because I shut them out because of their website, and now they don't rate me. And it's cool. You don't have to rate me. But one thing I'll tell you, like, I ain't going to say bullshit, but it's bullshit. Like, you can't tell me, you can't want me to wear Adidas only and rap you when you're not going
to pay me to wear Adidas.
You're not
only.
Loyal. No, you are not loyal to me, firstly. You are going to get me, and then you're going to get another photographer somewhere else.
Anytime.
What the fuck?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you need to be loyal to me if you want me to be loyal to you. I got to make my paychecks. Like,
guys, it's straight up. If you want me to wear FUBU, pay me enough to wear FUBU and afford the FUBU lifestyle.
Give me enough. Pay me, dress me up long enough. I can't wear the same Adidas shoes over and over again, same FUBU shoes, whatever brand.
Give me enough shoes.
Give me enough shoes, give me enough clothes, so I'm able to wear it
the Adidas lifestyle.
I've got enough Adidas that I bought myself.
So, brands, if you want someone to be loyal to, I mean, we are, first and number one, we are human beings.
Yep.
Human beings wear different types of brands.
Yes.
It's a lie if I say I only wear Adidas.
Hey,
that's
man.
A lie. Or if I wear Pep or whatever brand I'm wearing. It's a lie. As a consumer, I'm going to eat different types of brand because I like different types of shit.
Yeah.
So if you're going to ask someone to be loyal to you, but you're not paying them, that's not realistic. And also, you can't ask Cristiano Ronaldo to be loyal to you and not pay him. It's an endorsement. The moment you ask an influencer to only wear your brand, that means that you are paying them. And that's an endorsement. Mm. So don't
pay
that shit.
Don't pay me
stop
with clothes, man.
Yo, guys, don't pay me with clothes.
And also, I'm also ranting that the reason why an influencer will work with different brands is because if, for example, you as a brand are approaching an influencer, instead of using them for one campaign, why don't you say to them, listen, let's build a long-term
partnership
where we pay you ongoingly. That's when the influencer becomes loyal.
Do you know what's
but
crazy?
If you're going to use them for one campaign that costs 15,000 Rand
and
then they go work for another brand, you can't claim them.
Let me speak into this. The reason why I turned down the other brand as a company, as much as they're big, is because they're not giving you space and room for growth, guys. If a company or a business entirely approaches you, at least approach me with the room for growth. Don't just approach me because you need my services, you need my following, you need my numbers, you need my database, you need my impressions. No, at least sell me something. And for me, if I want to work with anybody, at least I want to see room for growth. If there's no room for growth, high chances I'll take it down. I won't work with you as a brand. I've worked with a selection of brands, and in all these brands, if I call them right now, they literally make a plan for me. And that's what I'm fighting for.
Cool. Guys, I have to wrap up. This was a very heated discussion. I enjoyed it. It had no structure. We wild out. But I just want to say thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you for having us, bro.
In each show that I do, I always say, give us an inspiration to people that want to follow you. Give us a quick line. What advice do you have?
I'd say I'm for reshaping representation in the African and Africa as a whole. All I'm fighting for right now is for young black creatives to reshape representation. We all can be company owners. So, yeah, let's fight for that.
Yo, you got to start somewhere. You got to be an assistant before you become the boss. So it don't matter where you start. You need to humble yourself. You're not the shit. When you graduate, you are not what you graduated as. You still have to learn.
Yeah, mate.
And what I have to say, guys, is we live in such an exciting time with social media, within the industry. As again, if you're going to do something, not do it because of the life.
Mm-hmm.
Don't do it because you feel that you're going to be popular and get followers. Do it because it's a business. Do it because you want to progress.
Yeah.
You guys have an announcement. What is the announcement?
Yo, guys, Everyday People Story is about to grow. We're about to be among the first few black-owned creative agency. Everyday People Stories creative agency coming soon, guys.
So you guys have announced that they're going to have a creative agency. Thank you so much for tuning in.
My name is Thiabo Ngabeyile.
Please tweet us at hashtag The Threaded Exchange, at Thiabeyile. Tweet Cedric, tweet Austin. Let us know what you think of the show, the podcast. We have more podcasts that are going to come out. Next session is going to be an exciting one because I've got Anati in studio. So yeah, thank you so much for joining us.
We are cultured, progressive,
and brave. This is The Threaded Exchange.
We out.
We out.
Cultured and brave.
And now, the moment you've all been waiting for.
The Threaded Exchange with Thiabeyile. Live on Cliff Central.
CliffCentral.com.